from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Well, I think Daniel now is becoming more of a good football player. In a sense, he's starting to feel comfortable in his body and what he can do. We're working him at right tackle. We're working him somewhat right guard. I just see him getting more familiar, what he has to do, how he's got to communicate.
That is Ravens offensive line coach Joe DeLisandris talking about Daniel Faalele out of the University of Minnesota entering his third year in the National Football League, and could be a big opportunity for him, Vinny, to earn himself a starting spot and maybe keep it for a while. Is he up to the challenge is the big question.
Well, the thing, just listening to Joe D there, I mean, like you keep saying, Bob, the guy's going into his fourth year.
He is going into his third season.
Going into his third season, and you know, you got Joe D, well, we're working him at right tackle, working him at right guard, we're working him. All right, to me, that all that tells you is he can't solidify a spot. So here's what he was coming out of the University of Minnesota. He was a senior, 6'8", 384 pounds, ran 5'6", 35 and an eighth arm, 11-inch hand. He's from Australia, attended IMG Academy. 2017, first season playing competitive football, was a 4-star recruit. I'm guessing just on size alone, he was that. 2018, he started 8 games at right tackle for the Gophers. 2019, started 11 games at right tackle, missed 2. 2020, did not compete. 2021, started 12 of 13 games, was all Big Ten first team. Strengths. He is a large man, long arms, strong, runs okay for a big man, position blocker, hustles downfield, slides his feet okay in pass. He'll work body and position on the down block, will come off on the base block. He's so big, he's hard to get around. Shows some awareness versus stunts. Plays from a 3-point and 2-point. He can lock out and pass. Some knee bend. Showed some sustainability. Some initial quick, strong hands. Rare measurables. Thick. Power from hips to hands. Mass creates momentum to move defender. Good versus the bull rush. He did bench, 24 times, 2.25, which is good for a long-arm guy. Weakness, he likes to lean on defenders, which that's still the same. On ground a lot, not explosive. Mauler on the down block. No punch or extension in pass. Average quicks in pass set. Average adjust at best. Trouble versus speed in pass. Play is mechanical, not instinctive. Sluggish getting to the second level. Needs better patience in pass with hands. Lacks mirror quickness to keep rusher in front of him. In summary, this kid's from Australia, has played organized football since 2017. He is still raw and learning the game. He needs more nasty. Relies on size in run and pass. I would want coach to work him out to see if he could do what we needed. We'll struggle with outside speed and quicks. I mean, Bob, that was 3 years ago. And a lot of the same things that you talk about, because you ask, why is he not starting? I don't know that he's improved a lot. And other guys have improved. Is he that far away? Is he not coachable? Does he not take the coaching because he hadn't improved a ton? And, you know, he still struggles with outside speed. He still struggles in the mirror stuff. When I went to rookie minicamp, I was shocked at how flexible he was for that size of a guy, because he was doing like hurdler, like get one leg over a hurdle and stuff. I was like, whoa, for a big guy. So I was impressed with that. But, you know, like he's not quick in the pass. You know, he's big. That's what he's got. He's got 6'8", 384, and he's hard to get around. And if he gets his body, if he leans his body on you, then he's going to block you. So that I just think he's got a better chance at guard because the people aren't as fast or as quick in there on the outside. I just think he struggles with speed on the outside. And if he has to start at right tackle, I don't think it's what they want, Bob. But that means if he's starting at right tackle, Rosengard's not ready.
Now, when we heard Joe DeLisandris say that he's getting more comfortable with his body, what does that mean?
I think he's losing some weight. I think that's the biggest thing. Before, he was just like a, you know, almost 400 pounds, you know, and getting more comfortable with his body, knowing what his body can do and being able to move his body to do those things instead of just like, you know, ooh, you know, I mean, he doesn't, you know, and he's got a lot of good traits, but I don't know if he doesn't know how to use them. He's not comfortable using them. But, you know, he's got long arms. He's got humongous hands. He's strong. But he's just not a good football player yet.
I mean, we've got Andrew Voorhees hasn't played in over a year, already penciled in to start at left guard.
Yep.
They drafted Rosengarten, who you mentioned, second round out of Minnesota, who they would, I assume, would like. Sala, who we'll talk about at 12:45. Is he ahead of any sort of depth chart in the Falele world here? Could Sala be the right guard or right tackle ahead of him?
I think Sala's got a chance to be the right guard.
I mean, he was running with the ones last year at left guard for a while.
Yep, no doubt about it. I mean, Sala's got some stuff about him, and he's a good athlete too. But Falele is kind of a mystery. Bob, with him, like you said, if he doesn't get it, if he's not starting this year, then it's probably a year from now he's gone.
He joins the D-Rob, Jack Flaherty list of Nolan McGraw favorite players. And Nolan McGraw is very steadfast in said
but
list.
Bob, I'll bet, what do you think, in about 15 years? I mean, Falele, he could be like a 400-500-pound guy, I bet.
Well, I'd just like to be a starter year three.
No doubt.
In the National Football League. Speaking of Daniel Falele, news from the NASPD at 81.057 The Fan. Let's get out to the phones. Bring in Maris. Maris, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. On Falele, there's only one word to describe him. He's a stiff.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
He's a stiff. He has no chance.
Well, I mean, he alternated in there at right tackle, and they won some games, you know. But, you know, is he the guy that you want in there all the time? No, I don't think he's got to change a lot of people's minds when the pads come on in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Hey, another thing I wanted to ask you about, Adrian Amos, is he playing with anybody now? The Ravens need an extra safety. You think he has any grade to him to make a team? Make the team? This is a guy who got drafted in the fifth round several years ago. He got two contracts.
Yeah, he's a Calvert Hall guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do anything. I'm guessing what they normally do is they go to camp with the guys that they have. And let's just say nobody gets hurt. If nobody gets hurt, then they let these guys play a couple preseason games, and then they figure out if they need somebody or not, and then they go.
I see Justin Simmons is still out there. Uh-huh. Now, we talked about this yesterday.
Adams.
Yeah, he signed with Tennessee. So, possible addition. Adrian Amos, by the way, is out of Calvert Hall, Penn State. 31 years old. He is a free agent. He was with Houston and the Jets last year.
Yeah. You'd say, what is the type of guy that fits perfectly as a third safety for them? Geno Stone was what made Geno Stone so good? Geno wasn't fast, but he had ball skills, super smart. He would tackle. So, they don't need a superstar. They just need a guy that's got skills, and he's got to be super smart, and he's got to be able to play the ball, and he's got to be a willing tackler.
Well, it's funny because Vinny is breaking down Daniel Faalele, strengths and weaknesses. Maris goes, he's a stiff.
Yeah.
Here you go. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Buyer, sell. Where's the weekend money count? And hopefully next. And then Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking about the baseball world as we head into the All-Star break. The top two teams in the American League. He's not exactly playing their greatest ball at this time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Today at Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Featured Artist Friday, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Plenty of tunes to go, so send your request to Nolan McGraw, Applause for text line 410-583-1057. Orioles, Yankees, big series right before the break. Top two teams, American League East. Ravens rookies report tomorrow. Quarterbacks on Monday, and injured veterans, and 9 days away from the first training camp practice of 2024 and everything else in between. Wimbledon's going on there. Carlos Alcaraz beats Medvedev to advance to the Wimbledon final. Keep you up to date on Musetti versus Djokovic, which is happening right now. But Nolan, let's get into it. Let's count some money, Benny. It's a little buy or sell here.
Yeah, the Dow's at record numbers. The Dow's up 314. The S&P's up 41. The NASDAQ is up 145. DraftKings up 23 cents. The only thing in the red is Under Armour. They're down 11 cents. So, Bob, you got money for your vacation.
Nice. Except for Under Armour.
All right, we're going to start things here in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh going to be under the spotlight in his first year back in the NFL. Being away from the pro ranks for about a decade there has many interested to see if he can pick up where he left off. A lot of success in his tenure with San Francisco. NFL writer Cody Benjamin has ranked all 32 head coaches heading into the 2024 season. Jim Harbaugh comes in at number 7. Quote here from Benjamin saying, LA is bound to be more disciplined under his watch. Right behind him, you got Dan Campbell came in at 8, Sean McDermott 9, Kevin Stefanski 10. But Vinny Byers sell, even after a decade away, Jim Harbaugh comfortably slots right back in as a top 10 coach in the league.
Oh, I 100% buy that. You know, when you mentioned, you know, would I rather have Jim Harbaugh coaching my team or Dan Quinn? Yeah, give me Jim Harbaugh. Stefanski, give me Jim Harbaugh. So, yeah, I could see. And Harbaugh took his team to the Super Bowl, just won a national championship. He's done it at both. And he's got a lot of pro coaches on his staff. He knows what he's doing.
Hey, and we talked to Mike Harmon yesterday, Fox Sports Radio, and he's based in L.A. with the lovely people. We're not talking about Justin Herbert or Khalil Mack or Bosa. No. They're talking about Jim Harbaugh being the big story there.
All right, moving on here to a little basketball, Olympic news, really.
Oh, nice.
Derek White, he was tabbed to replace Kawhi Leonard on the U.S. Olympic team roster, joining teammate Jason Tatum. But finals MVP Jaylen Brown, he finds himself not a part of the festivities, and he's confused about it. Had a couple tweets after the news was revealed that White was picked to be on the team, and Brown here kind of taking aim at Nike, who has had a long-standing link with Team USA as the, I guess, official athletic brand for them. In the past, Brown been very critical of Nike on social media and elsewhere, and he was under the impression that that's the reason why he wasn't picked for the Olympic team. Now, Grant Hill, he serves as the managing director for Team USA, was asked about it, said the decision was purely a basketball one, on-court roster construction. They wanted Derek White over Brown. But are you buying or selling, Bob, that Nike had anything to do with Brown not being included?
I don't know the intricacies of it, so I'll go ahead and soft sell buy. Can I do a thumb sideways? For the record, what shoe does Jaylen Brown wear?
He used to wear Nike, and that's where the controversy stems from.
Oh, I gotcha.
I believe there was an All-Star weekend a couple years ago where I think Nike gave him some shoes, and he spurned them and showed up wearing two other brands over the weekend.
Oh, so I'll buy a little intrigue there. Soft buy on that. By the way, Grant Hill, when he played, used to wear Fila's. Because I used to work at Foot Locker in the mid-90s when he first came into the league. I was an assistant manager at Golden Ring Mall. You should have saw me in my Foot Locker uniform there, Nolan. But Grand Hill Fila's were a very popular shoe back in those days.
That's where you had to wear the...
You look like a referee.
Yeah.
I got booed all the time for no reason.
Yeah, but you could throw anyone out.
That's right.
Get out of here.
Tee them up.
Yeah.
All right, we go back to the NFL. The ongoing contract situation, Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers, still no movement there, but it will be one to monitor through training camp. One of Ayuk's teammates, though, doesn't seem concerned about him potentially leaving. George Kittle was asked about the ongoing contract dispute, and he actually cited his own contract negotiations with the team, as well as some of their other recent big deals, Deebo Samuel, Nick Bosa. The quote here from Kittle said, that's just how business is done out there. They seem to let things linger and have no issue, even in the case of Bosa, having things go into the regular season itself before a deal gets done. So, Vinny, are you buying or selling that the slow movement here, not a major concern?
I'm going to sell it. I think it's a major concern. I just don't know how they can pay two receivers. The only reason why is you know, Purdy is cheap right now, but Purdy's going into year 3. So you'd have Purdy, if he has another good year like they're supposed to, the Niners, and Purdy does like he did last year, he's going to want $55 million, and you got two receivers making in the third. I don't see it's going
to
happen.
And doesn't Purdy throw more to Ayuk than Debo? Isn't
yes,
that kind
he does.
Of the rub right now?
Yeah.
Last couple of years, he's been their number one.
Yeah.
Let's see here. A little college football news. Coaches always on the hot seat in college football. Expectations for quick success being the norm across D1. Well, CBS Sports, they've evaluated every FBS coach on a scale of 0 to 5, a hot seat scale, if you will. 0 being completely safe, 5 inferno hot in a situation where it's either win or get fired. Now, a good handful of coaches here have warm seats in this ranking system, but only one received a dreaded 5 rating, and that was Sam Pittman at Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Back-to-back bowl appearances in 21 and 22, but last year, 4-8 record, abysmal against fellow SEC competition. You look at his overall tenure at the school, 11 and 23 was their record against the SEC. Bob, are you buying or selling that his seat is the hottest among college coaches?
I'll buy that. I'm sure there's somebody that's going to crop up out of nowhere. But Arkansas, they had a really good start to 22 and then tanked. Or was it 21? One of those seasons, they got off to a really good start with a couple of upsets against ranked teams. Kind of faded, even though they made it to bowls. But for, you got Calipari on the basketball side now.
Yep.
They're going to want to level up with a football coach. If they're 4-8, this guy, don't send out the dry cleaning. You're going to be gone.
And look at the money people that they have. You know, they have money galore with Jerry Jones alum, Sam Walton. You know, they've got the money to go get who they want. And I'm guessing, just like Bob said, with Calipari there, they're going to want a named football coach, too.
By the way, speaking of college football, Dylan Gabriel is the betting favorite for the Heisman, at least as we sit here on July 12th, according to ESPN Bet. Someone that we're not even thinking of will probably win the Heisman Trophy in 2024. And as a voter, if I'm going to venture to say who could come up out of nowhere, I'm going to go with Milroe, the kid from Alabama, because he's going to get a lot of national attention. They're going to be good post-Saban. You know, he's had moments of brilliance, but if I'm going to say Dylan Gabriel, I'd bet he doesn't win it. Usually the preseason favorite does not take home the prize.
Well, Ohio State's supposed to be really good. So
Howard, maybe?
Yeah. It's kind of a quarterback award, pretty much. And, yeah, I'd say Ohio State, Georgia. I mean, Georgia's had so many guys with traffic incidents and stuff. They've had 20. Over the last year, speeding and all that kind of stuff.
A very unfortunate situation there with the Bulldogs, and tragedy included, unfortunately, there as well. We'll come back, talk more baseball. Gabe Lax, he'll be joining us USA Today, coming up on the All-Star break. Orioles 2 games up on the Yankees, trying to maintain that advantage. How's that trade deadline starting to percolate? Some of the names that maybe we're not talking about that could be had. And when are some of these teams going to start selling? Face the reality that you're not making it to the playoffs. Vinny's profiles continue. We're going with Sala staying on the offensive line. Is he ahead of Fa'alele in the pecking order? Travis Jones going to talk about him. Maybe there's a bust-out candidate. Who said he was going to lead the team in sacks? Was it Allstriker earlier this
yes.
week? Travis Jones, is he ready for that level of ascension? 5880-1057 The Fan, featured artist Friday, Earth, Wind, and Fires, chosen by you, the people. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request, Plazaport text line at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles, Yankees tonight, 7:05 first pitch. First place on the line. Both teams struggling heading into this series. Baltimore baseball tonight. Me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles, getting you ready starting at 6 as Garrett Cole takes on Cade Povich. Both guys coming off rough outings, shall we say. But here to talk about Major League Baseball heading into the All-Star break of 2024 from USA Today. Let's welcome into the program Gabe Lax. Gabe, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hope you guys are well.
We're living the dream here, Gabe, as we say around these parts. But let's talk about teams outside of Baltimore and New York. Managers of the year, American League, National League. Now, based on some of the calls and texts we've gotten this morning, Brandon High would be the first manager a lot of our fans would fire, but it is what it is. But we're picking first half managers of the year, AL, NL. What does Gabe Lax say here?
Yeah, well, let's start. We're starting with my least favorite award because it's so based on narrative, you know, and I think your Hyde responses are probably a pretty good indication of that. So with that in mind, you know, it's the guy surprising people with a team on the upswing. So it's got to be Stephen Vogt of the Cleveland Guardians in the AL. Just phenomenal job so far, playing 620 ball. Not quite running away with the Central because the Twins are making a nice run, but certainly playing well beyond their expectations. And then in the NL, I think I got to go, sticking with the narrative, got to go with Pat Murphy of the Brewers. You lose Craig Counsell to a $40 million contract in Chicago. You trade Corbin Burns. And still, a longtime bench coach, and clearly the players – respect him and play for him with the way they're performing this year with what's kind of a diminished outlook after, you know, a little bit of a tear down there. So, yeah, I think Vogt and Murphy are your guys and interesting to see how that'll unfold, obviously, in the second half.
Now, Gabe, we do the projections before the season, and you anticipate teams that aren't going to be all that great. You know, Oakland comes to mind. I don't know if everybody thought the White Sox would be as bad as they've been, but, you know, nobody was picking them to win the World Series. So that being said, first half, most disappointing team. We saw the Cubs coming in here a couple of days ago. They probably were in that category, even though they just beat the crap out of the Orioles for three games. But who would you say is the most disappointing first half team based on preseason expectations?
Yeah, you know, the Cubs are interesting. They had an identical record to last year at this point in time a couple days ago. Now they're a couple games better than that. I think they just are what they are, kind of nondescript. I think I have to go with the Texas Rangers. You knew there was going to be a championship hangover. You knew that it was a veteran team that might feel the effects of the year after winning it all. But to be on the fringes, if not out of the playoff race, to be five games below 500, for it to be, you know, mid-July and to basically received no support from the pitching reinforcements. Still no Jacob DeGrom, still no Tyler Mahle, who's supposed to be coming back from Tommy John. A little bit of Max Scherzer, but, you know, of course, this is late 30s Max Scherzer. And then, a bit of stagnation from the lineup, and including, you know, kind of a, you know, the all-star picks were pretty good, but it was odd to see the players vote Marcus Semien, and he's having kind of a rough year there. Corey Seager still a little bit bit by the injury bug. Not counting the Rangers out, and I think Wyatt Langford is going to be your AL Rookie of the Year, but just a little bit disappointed to see them not be able to follow that up with it at least being a little above 500.
We're talking MLB at the All-Star break with Gabe Lax from USA Today. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So you got the Orioles and Yankees here in Baltimore tonight, Gabe. Orioles just got swept by the Cubs and dominated, quite frankly, over the three games. Only two runs scored. Highest scoring team, or one of, in baseball. Yankees coming in. They're 0-7-1 in their last eight series. So as we head into the break and look ahead a little bit to the second half, who do you have more confidence in that'll right the ship, acquire what they need to maintain supremacy at the top of this division?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's, when they met for four games in April, I certainly pegged this as, you know, the most fascinating rivalry for good reasons, because they were both really great teams. Now, you know, the Yankees, it's pretty disconcerting what their starting pitching has done. You know, just an absolute about face when you talk about Luis Eel. You know, a 0.6 ERA in May and the start of June, a 7 ERA in his last six starts. Carlos Rodon, the bottom has fallen out of him. Marcus Stroman, kind of doing what he does. He gets off to good starts and then hits a little bit of a wall. So that piece of it is really, really disappointing from the Yankees standpoint, and really kind of leaves them, okay, what now? You know, what, uh, you know, is Garrett Cole going to be Cy Young Garrett Cole, you know, as he gets deeper into his progression this year? Is Clark Schmidt going to come back? That guy was nails. Now he's, you know, not going to be back till August. What are they getting back with him? You know, but with regard to assets, you know, the Orioles still with such a big edge with regard to the minor league system that they have and some of the hidden gems that can, you know, mean a lot in terms of depth to trade from beyond, you know, the blue chip of, you know, Baseball America top 100 types. So, it's going to be fascinating just because, you know, Mike Elias showed his hand a little bit last winter in getting Corbin Burns. And so that's a significant investment in this year. You know, what will all in look like when it comes to the trade deadline? How much, you know, is he willing to give up one of the, you know, one of the just, you know, blue chip kind of guys? Is, you know, I can't imagine giving up 6-7 years of Kobe Mayo might be worth it for, you know, what's going to be a pretty lackluster starting pitching market. But that said, you know, they need to get a guy. They need, you know, who's starting game three of the AL Division Series if they end up winning the division? You know, that's kind of the key question for them. And how much are you willing to give up to get that? And how much do you have to give up to get that? You don't need to overshoot the market. You know, they still have one of the, you know, among contenders, they have one of the best farm systems around. So, you know, to get maybe a Nate Eovaldi or a Zach Eflin or, Jack Flaherty 2.1, because he's a little better this year. But what is it going to take? You know, that's a fascinating question. And I think, you know, fans impatient for them to make a move. You know, you don't want to overpay just to get 2-3 more extra starts out of one of these guys. You need to kind of let the market develop and identify your guy and go get him. And I'm really fascinated to see what the cost is going to be come July 30th.
Hey, Gabe, are you surprised at what Paul Skenes is doing? And would you have let him pitch? You know, he was, what, 7 innings, 98 pitches with the no-hitter. Do you think they should have allowed him to finish?
Man, I don't think there's any way he finishes the game. He had a 6-pitch seventh inning, which was kind of amazing and kind of kept him in the fight that way. But, you know, it is tough. You know, all of us old school types, you hate to see it, but you certainly get it. You look at a couple of guys, you know, Michael Lorenzen last year with the Phillies, and, you know, a guy by the name of Spencer Turnbull, who now is back with the Phillies, threw a no-hitter with the Tigers. Both of those guys, not the same guy after throwing no hitters. And that, you know, that's something you have to guard against when it's Paul Skenes, when he's potentially the, you know, a generational pitcher. But in terms of the big picture with him, I am surprised that he's doing this well. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be, but you just don't know what, you know, how stuff is going to play. But when you look at a 0.92 whip, 1.9 ERA, the thing that really gets me about him is his command. When you're looking at almost a 7 strikeout to walk ratio, the command of those 3 pitches, 100-mile fastball, you know, a splitter that comes in at 94. And then, you know, he has a slider for put-away purposes. You know, gets swings and misses on the zone, in the zone with all those 3 pitches. That's, you know, I try to catch as many of his starts as I can. And it's still remarkable to watch every time. And now he's getting deeper and getting more dominant in the game. So scarier than even I would have imagined, certainly.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking to Major League Baseball with us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Gabe, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star break. And hopefully we could talk to you throughout the second half of the season where there'll be no shortage of drama, I'm sure.
Looking forward to it, fellas. Thanks so
Gabe.
Much.
Yep. You got it. Gabe Lax, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Sala, who is he? You're going to find out next. Then we got NFL Launch. We're going to talk about Travis Jones. Big upside there. Is he ready to live up to the hype?
Yeah, I think Sala's kind of what, you know, kind of what you...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
5880-1057 The Fan, featured artist Friday, Earth, Wind, and Fires, chosen by you, the people. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request, Plaza Sports text line at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Orioles, Yankees tonight, 7:05 first pitch. First place on the line, both teams struggling heading into this series. Baltimore baseball tonight, me, Jim Hunter, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles, getting you ready starting at 6 as Garrett Cole takes on Cade Povich. Both guys coming off rough outings, shall we say, but here to talk about Major League Baseball heading into the All-Star break of 2024 from USA Today. Let's welcome into the program Gabe Lax. Gabe, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hope you guys are well.
We're living the dream here, Gabe, as we say around these parts. But let's talk about teams outside of Baltimore and New York. Managers of the Year, American League, National League. Now, based on some of the calls and texts we've gotten this morning, Brandon Hyde would be the first manager a lot of our fans would fire, but it is what it is. But we're picking first half managers of the year, AL, NL. What does Gabe Lax say here?
Yeah, well, let's start. We're starting with my least favorite award because it's so based on narrative, you know, and I think your Hyde responses are probably a pretty good indication of that. So with that in mind, you know, it's the guy surprising people with a team on the upswing. So it's got to be Stephen Vogt of the Cleveland Guardians in the AL. Just phenomenal job so far, playing 620 ball. Not quite running away with the Central because the Twins are making a nice run, but certainly playing well beyond their expectations. And then in the NL, I think I got to go, sticking with the narrative, got to go with Pat Murphy of the Brewers. You lose Craig Counsell to a $40 million contract in Chicago. You trade Corbin Burns. And still, a longtime bench coach, and clearly the players – respect him and play for him with the way they're performing this year with what's kind of a diminished outlook after, you know, a little bit of a teardown there. So, yeah, I think Vogt and Murphy, you guys, and interesting to see how that'll unfold, obviously, in the second half.
Now, Gabe, we do the projections before the season, and you anticipate teams that aren't going to be all that great. You know, Oakland comes to mind. I don't know if everybody thought the White Sox would be as bad as they've been. But, you know, nobody was picking them to win the World Series. So that being said, first half, most disappointing team. We saw the Cubs coming in here a couple of days ago. They probably were in that category, even though they just beat the crap out of the Orioles for three games. But who would you say is the most disappointing first half team based on preseason expectations?
Yeah, you know, the Cubs are interesting. They had an identical record to last year at this point in time a couple days ago. Now they're a couple games better than that. I think they just are what they are, kind of nondescript. I think I have to go with the Texas Rangers. You knew there was going to be a championship hangover. You knew that it was a veteran team that might feel the effects of the year after winning it all. But to be on the fringes, if not out of the playoff race, to be five games below 500, for it to be mid-July and to basically received no support from the pitching reinforcements. Still no Jacob DeGrom, still no Tyler Mahle, who was supposed to be coming back from Tommy John. A little bit of Max Scherzer, but of course this is late 30s Max Scherzer, and then a bit of stagnation from the lineup, and including the all-star picks were pretty good, but it was odd to see the players vote Marcus Semien, and he's having kind of a rough year there. Corey Seager still a little bit bit by the injury bug. Not counting the Rangers out, and I think Wyatt Langford is going to be your AL Rookie of the Year, but just a little bit disappointed to see them not be able to follow that up with it at least being a little above 500.
We're talking MLB at the All-Star break with Gabe Lax from USA Today. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So you got the Orioles and Yankees here in Baltimore tonight, Gabe. Orioles just got swept by the Cubs and dominated, quite frankly, over the three games. Only two runs scored. Highest scoring team, or one of, in baseball. Yankees coming in. They're 0-7-1 in their last eight series. So as we head into the break and look ahead a little bit to the second half, who do you have more confidence in that'll right the ship, acquire what they need to maintain supremacy at the top of this division?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's, when they met for four games in April, I certainly pegged this as, the most fascinating rivalry for good reasons, because they were both really great teams. Now, the Yankees, it's pretty disconcerting what their starting pitching has done. Just an absolute about face when you talk about Luis Eel. A 0.6 ERA in May and the start of June, a 7 ERA in his last six starts. Carlos Rodon, the bottom has fallen out of him. Marcus Stroman, kind of doing what he does. He gets off to good starts and then hits a little bit of a wall. That piece of it is really, really disappointing from the Yankees standpoint, and really kind of leaves them, okay, what now? Is Gerrit Cole going to be Cy Young Gerrit Cole, as he gets deeper into his progression this year? Is Clark Schmidt going to come back? That guy was nails. Now he's, not going to be back till August. What are they getting back with him? But with regard to assets, the Orioles still with such a big edge with regard to the minor league system that they have and some of the hidden gems that can, mean a lot in terms of depth to trade from beyond, the blue chip of, Baseball America top 100 types. So, it's going to be fascinating just because, Mike Elias showed his hand a little bit last winter in getting Corbin Burns. And so that's a significant investment in this year. What will all in look like when it comes to the trade deadline? How much, is he willing to give up one of the, blue chip kind of guys? I can't imagine giving up 6-7 years of Kobe Mayo might be worth it for, what's going to be a pretty lackluster starting pitching market. But that said, they need to get a guy. They need, who's starting game three of the AL division series if they end up winning the division? That's kind of the key question for them. And how much are you willing to give up to get that? And how much do you have to give up to get that? You don't need to overshoot the market. They still have one of the, among contenders, they have one of the best farm systems around. So, to get a Nate Eovaldi or a Zach Eflin or a Jack Flaherty 2.1, because he's a little better this year. But what is it going to take? That's a fascinating question. And I think, fans impatient for them to make a move. You don't want to overpay just to get two, three more extra starts out of one of these guys. You need to kind of let the market develop and identify your guy and go get him. And I'm really fascinated to see what the cost is going to be come July 30th.
Hey, Gabe, are you surprised at what Paul Skenes is doing? And would you have let him pitch? He was what, 7 innings, 98 pitches with the no hitter. Do you think they should have allowed him to finish?
Man, I think I don't think there's any way he finishes the game. He had a six-pitch seventh inning, which was kind of amazing and kind of kept him in the fight that way. But, you know, it is tough. You know, all of us old-school types, you hate to see it, but you certainly get it. You look at a couple of guys, you know, Michael Lorenzen last year with the Phillies, and, you know, a guy by the name of Spencer Turnbull, who now is back with the Phillies, threw a no-hitter with the Tigers. Both of those guys, not the same guy after throwing no-hitters. And that, you know, that's something you have to guard against when it's Paul Skenes, when he's potentially a generational pitcher. But in terms of the big picture with him, I am surprised that he's doing this well. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be, but you just don't know how stuff is going to play. But when you look at a 0.92 whip, 1.9 ERA, the thing that really gets me about him is his command. When you're looking at almost a 7 strikeout to walk ratio, the command of those three pitches, 100-mile fastball, a splitter that comes in at 94. And then, you know, he has a slider for put-away purposes, gets swings and misses on the zone, in the zone with all those three pitches. That's, I try to catch as many of his starts as I can. And it's still remarkable to watch every time. And now he's getting deeper and getting more dominant in the game. So, scarier than even I would have imagined, certainly.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking to Major League Baseball with us, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Gabe, we appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the All-Star break, and hopefully we could talk to you throughout the second half of the season where there'll be no shortage of drama, I'm sure.
Looking forward to it, fellas. Thanks so
Gabe.
Much.
Yep. You got it. Gabe Lax, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Salah, who is he? You're going to find out next. Then we got NFL Launch. We're going to talk about Travis Jones. Big upside there. Is he ready to live up to the hype?
Yeah, I think Salah's kind of what kind of what you would expect. He's done really well. He moves his feet well. He's very physical at times. And then again, he's a rookie, so you get fired up for a guy, and you got to remember that this is the first time these guys are playing this at this speed, with this level of communication, this level of scheme. So the sky's the limit for him.
It's John Harbaugh. That was last year. Talking about Salah. And I had the phonetic spelling down pat, but I forgot it.
Mali, Sala, Ama.
You say so.
Whatever.
Yeah,
if you say, Amuve Laulu.
Amuve Laulu. I don't help people move. Oh, that's his name. Sala. So we'll go with that. Sixth round pick, 2023 out of Oregon. And that was John Harbaugh. A lot of hubbub about Sala as he was running with the first team at left guard. Eventually lost that spot to John Simpson, who is now in New York. And then he went from running with the ones to not even being active on game day. But a year later, Vinny, you're not really hearing much about him as we head into training camp.
You know, and a lot of the reason Bobby wasn't active was because he could only play one spot. And you can't, you got to have versatility. But Salah from Oregon, senior, 6.052. So 6'5 and 2 ace. 322 pounds, ran 5'3". 34.5 arms, excellent. 10.5 hands, big. 28.5 vertical, okay. 1.8 10. For O-lineman, not bad. 18 reps, 2.25. Not good enough. Not good enough at that time. 8.10 broad jump. 7.63 cone. He's average athlete. In 2019, freshman year, 3 games at right guard. 2020, 6 games, 5 quarterback hurries, 1 quarterback hit, 1 sack, right guard, and tight tackle. 2021, 14 games, 14 quarterback hurries, 0 quarterback hit, 0 sacks, right tackle. 2022, 12 games, 10 quarterback hurries, 1 quarterback hit, 2 sacks, right tackle. So most of his games were right tackle. Strengths, size, width. He's got when you see him in person, he has got a thick lower body, and he can anchor. Good pass set, quick pass set, comes off aggressive on the run, good initial punch and pass, stays on his feet, long arms, shows ability to combo up to the linebacker. Good on the down block. Shows ability to pull. He can bend his knees. Good wide base. Smart, comfortable in space. Good versus stunts and twists. Weakness, Must keep balance and pass. He'll lunge and lose his man some. He'll line up and pass, lose man, must keep head up. Needs a stronger punch with his right hand versus speed. He'll lunge and miss at the second level. Keep feet moving. In summary, this kid's massive and is a knee bender. He has power. He shows ability to pull, turn up. He has a good pass set and good on run. He gets lazy in both, and then he'll lunge, drop head, and miss. With technique work, I like some of his traits. Play right tackle or guard. I think he's only a guard, but he still needs to improve. He's got the traits. He's got the athletic ability and stuff. Can he stack play after play after play after play? That's going to be the thing. And he was running a bunch with the ones at the mini camps. And like you said, he played left guard last year a lot, but he didn't dress because he was only playing, he could only play guard. He is big and he's a powerful guy. He's going to be in the mix. And he's going to be a guy that, you know, at the mini camps and stuff, he's going to be okay. But when you put the pads on, that's when he's got to take charge. It's going to be the guy who's going to win that job is the one that can play most consistently. They may, you know, like Falele, he's good for a play, and then he disappears. You know, Sala, can you put series together? That's what they got to have. They got to have consistency because, you know why? Whoever's playing that right tackle, he's going to be a new guy too. It'd be a little better if it was, you know, like with Voorhees between Ronnie and Lindebaum, it makes it a lot easier transition. But on the other side, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And I think Salah's going to end up winning that job.
And so you have more confidence in his upside than Daniel Falele
Yes, I do. I definitely do. You know, and Falele's played more than Salah, but because Salah can't play right tackle where Falele can. And I don't know, you know, what the coach, I don't know what the coaches think about Salah. I'll find out more next week when I go out there next Sunday, you know, to just kind of get a feel for what their opinion of him was last year.
Now, the rookies are scheduled to report tomorrow. Anybody can show up at any time, but the rookies, mandatory, they're there. Quarterbacks on Monday and injured veterans. Then the full squad's there on the 20th, which is 8 days, and then 9 days from today, training camp 2024 will start.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and it's like the first time that it's like football. It's like this team's reporting, and like by Friday, every team's rookies are in camp. It's just like even their announcer was saying, damn, just seemed like yesterday we were playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the AFC Championship game was 5.5 months ago.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, we're rolling out of Brew Brothers. It seems like only yesterday, but it's been half a year. We're at the midway point of the baseball season. Technically, they've already played half of the games, and then some. All-Star break coming up. You got football about to start. You got the Wimbledon in the semifinals. So much. The Olympics are right around the corner. Yeah. Man, it's rolling through, everybody. When we come back at NFL Lunch, going to talk about a guy on the defensive side of the ball entering his third year in the league. Maybe his upside is bigger than the two players we've already talked about. It's Travis Jones, American League East report. As the games were played last night for the Orioles and Yankees, it went poorly. We'll elaborate, break down some of the stats between the two. And then Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner. We talk about the Orioles heading into the break and the needs when we get back from it.
Yeah, I think Salah's kind of what he, you know, kind of what you would expect. He's done really well. He moves his feet well. He's very physical at times. And then again, he's a rookie, you know. So you get fired up for a guy, and you got to remember that this is the first time these guys are playing this at this speed, with this level of communication, this level of scheme. So the sky's the limit for him.
It's John Harbaugh. That was last year. Talking about Salah, and I had the phonetic spelling down pat, but I forgot it.
Mali Sala Ama.
You say so.
Whatever.
Yeah,
if you say Amuve Laulu.
Amuve Laulu. I don't help people move. Oh, that's his name. Sala. So we'll go with that. Sixth round pick, rather, 2023 out of Oregon. And that was John Harbaugh. A lot of hubbub about Salas. He was running with the first team at left guard, eventually lost that spot to John Simpson, who is now in New York. And then he went from running with the ones to not even being active on game day. But year later, Vinny, you're not really hearing much about him as we head into training camp.
You know, and a lot of the reason Bobby wasn't active was because he could only play one spot. And you can't, you know, you got to have versatility. But Saleh from Oregon, senior, 6.052. So 6'5 and 2 ace, 322 pounds, ran 5.3. 34 and a half arms, excellent. 10 and a half hands, big. 28 and a half vertical, okay. 1.810. For O lineman, not bad. 18 reps, 2 1/4. Not good enough. Not good enough at that time. 8.10 broad jump, 7.63 cone. He's average athlete. In 2019, freshman year, 3 games at right guard. 2020, 6 games, 5 quarterback hurries, 1 quarterback hit, 1 sack, right guard, and tight tackle. 2021, 14 games, 14 quarterback hurries, 0 quarterback hit, 0 sacks, right tackle. 2022, 12 games, 10 quarterback hurries, 1 quarterback hit, 2 sacks, right tackle. So most of his games were right tackle. Strengths, size, width. He's got a, when you see him in person, he has got a thick lower body, and he can anchor. Good pass set, quick pass set, comes off aggressive on the run, good initial punch and pass, stays on his feet, long arms, shows ability to combo up to the linebacker, good on the down block, shows ability to pull, he can bend his knees, good wide base, smart, comfortable in space, good versus stunts and twists. Weakness, must keep balance in pass. He'll lunge and lose his man some. He'll line up and pass, lose man, must keep head up. Needs a stronger punch with his right hand versus speed. He'll lunge and miss at the second level. Keep feet moving. In summary, this kid's massive and is a knee bender. He has power. He shows ability to pull, turn up. He has a good pass set and good on run. He gets lazy in both, and then he'll lunge, drop head, and miss. With technique work, I like some of his traits. Play right tackle or guard. I think he's only a guard, but he still needs to improve. He's got the traits. He's got the athletic ability and stuff. Can he stack play after play after play after play? That's going to be the thing. And he was running a bunch with the ones at the mini camps. And like you said, he played left guard last year a lot, but he didn't dress because he was only playing, he could only play guard. He is big and he's a powerful guy. He's going to be in the mix. And he's going to be a guy that, you know, at the mini camps and stuff, he's going to be okay. But when you put the pads on, that's when he's got to take charge. It's going to be the guy who's going to win that job is the one that can play most consistently. They may, you know, like Faalele, he's good for a play, and then he disappears. You know, Saleh, can you put series together? That's what they got to have. They got to have consistency because, you know why? Whoever's playing that right tackle, he's going to be a new guy too. It'd be a little better if it was, you know, like with Voorhees between Ronnie and Lindebaum, it makes it a lot easier transition. But on the other side, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And I think Saleh's going to end up winning that job.
So you have more confidence in his upside than Daniel Faalele at this stage. I do.
I definitely do. You know, and Faalele's played more than Saleh, but because Saleh can't play right tackle where Faalele can. And I don't know, you know, what the coach – I don't know what the coaches – think about Saleh. I'll find out more next week when I go out there next Sunday, you know, to just kind of get a feel for what their opinion of him was last year.
Now, the rookies are scheduled to report tomorrow. Anybody can show up at any time. but the rookies mandatory. They're there. Quarterbacks on Monday and injured veterans. Then the full squad's there on the 20th, which is 8 days, and then 9 days from today, training camp 2024.
Yeah,
will start.
I was watching SportsCenter this morning, and it's like the first time that it's like football. It's like this team's reporting, and like by Friday, every team's rookies are in camp. It's just like even their announcer was saying, damn, it just seemed like yesterday we were playing the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the AFC Championship game was 5.5 months ago.
Yeah,
crazy. Yeah, we're rolling out of Brew Brothers. It seems like only yesterday, but it's been half a year. We're at the midway point of the baseball season. Technically, they've already played half of the games, and then some. All-Star break coming up. You got football about to start. You got the Wimbledon in the semifinals. So much. The Olympics are right around the corner. Yeah. Man, it's rolling through, everybody. When we come back at NFL Lunch, going to talk about a guy on the defensive side of the ball entering his third year in the league. Maybe his upside is bigger than the two players we've already talked about. It's Travis Jones, American League East report. As the games were played last night for the Orioles and Yankees, it went poorly. We'll elaborate, break down some of the stats between the two. And then Danielle Allentuck from the Baltimore Banner. We talk about the Orioles heading into the break and the needs when we get back from it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.